It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are...
Uh-oh. DJ El Camino does it again. He's producing the show, but this time he's live, not from afar, not from a parking lot. He's actually sitting here inside of Caesars with me. I think it's the first time you and I have been together in a long time, since the aquarium, I think, was the last time.
That last time was the aquarium, but we do all the big plays. I like doing it live with you, Newell. It's like being on like a live radio tightrope with you. I mean, you know, the worst that happens is we embarrass ourselves in front of like a few hundred thousand people.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
I know.
But what a transformation, huh?
I tell you what, this place is, it looks great, it feels great, it smells great. I mean this in the right way, it's a Vegas-level facility. And sitting here in Octavia, which used to be Masquerade, which was that really strange bar with the escalators that went to nowhere. you remember those? Yeah, these two escalators just went to the ceiling. Like, I used to bang my head when I went up them. This is it's so gorgeous, and you know, we're here over at Nobu. I think Nobu is going to be an absolutely stunning success. I give a ton of credit to Caesars; they have absolutely done it right.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you miss Masquerades because you were premiered there one night as DJ El Camino.
That's right. Yeah. No, it was.
But I just negotiated a promise for that they would bring you back to Octavia.
Yeah, thank you. Apparently, it tends to be very slow on Tuesday nights in July, and so they've got a slot for me here. You know me, I'm easy. But my next big gig.
They didn't succeed by accident, right? They understand.
Exactly. They know where to put their bits and balls. Hey, look, I'm playing at Fried Chicken Fest coming up in a few weeks. And I'm looking for when I was first told about that by Cleveland Spears, I looked at him and I said, damn you, Fried Chicken Fest is going to be such a stunning success. And you're creating a monster. There's nothing we can do to stop it.
There's nothing we can do to stop it. Not at all. You just arrived from the opening of Kenner Discovery School. And
yeah,
big news out there.
Well, they just cut the ribbon on their new arts and athletics facility. And this place is such an incredible story, not just of an educational facility, but of a dream. I remember talking to Henry Shane back in 2011 when he said, the problem that we're having in Jefferson and in Kenner particularly is that young people are not moving here because there are not enough good public schools for the kids to go to. And Henry Shane, being Henry Shane, said, so I'm going to open a school. And I kind of looked at him, and because Henry is the most successful multifamily developer in the state, and I never would second guess him. But I never would have thought he would have had a place now, which under the leadership of Patty Glazer and the whole board, now has 3,300 students. It's one of the top performing schools in the state. There's a waiting list of over 1,000. They have a great partnership with Ochsner, where a lot of the employees send their kids there. And I was talking to Cade Brumley, superintendent. It's just an incredible testament to public-private partnership, personal vision, and the power of creating an educational institution to change kids' lives.
Yep. And it took somebody like Henry. I mean, I served on the East Jeff Hospital Board with Henry for over 20 years. And once he has something in his mind that he's going to get it done, there's no retreating.
Oh, no. I mean, look, Henry, he trained as an architect. He practiced as a developer. And he lives as an absolute pit bull.
Yeah.
I mean, when he gets an idea, and it might be a car he wants to collect, or it might be a party he wants to throw. But again, the one of the lessons that I've learned in now doing this for a couple of decades here is that ideas are cheap. I mean, when somebody comes to me and says, I've got this idea, but I want you to sign this NDA before I talk to you about it, I said, I'll sign an NDA all along, because the world is strewn with ideas that have never been executed. But executing on an idea is precious. And almost everything that we enjoy today, whether it's the Superdome, right, that vision, or redeveloping the waterfront here, I was talking to Ron Foreman about it the other day, it requires... Usually it's one individual who combines being a little bit mad, meaning crazy, and has enormous perseverance and good efficacy, and then people rally around him, and sometimes it gets done, and you know, and then you say, well, that was easy, you know, on to the next.
Yeah. Just quick like that.
Right. But this was, I mean, a huge thing. I was talking to Senator Martini was there, and he was one of the key people getting this done. So many people came together, you know, education is economic development. I was actually just in Boston recently meeting with a team of Raj Chetty, who's one of the, he was the youngest tenured professor at Harvard. He does all this research on the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he just completed a major study started in 1972, looking at about 5 million people. And what he determined is that the most important thing in economic mobility over life, your ability to do better than your parents, which is effectively the most basic way to describe the American dream. He said it's not about the stability of your household. It's not about the education that you necessarily get personally. But if you're in an environment, a community, including a school, that has good role models, good support, good people you can lean on, then statistically you're likely to succeed. So that's why public schools like Canada Discovery matter so much, because even if a kid comes from a really challenged background, they can go there and be in a context which we know now empirically they're likely to succeed.
I know there was a lot of controversy around this, but I always thought it was spot on. The village does raise a child.
It does. I mean, look, there are these ideas that get, I don't know, become unfashionable to say, whether it takes a village or broken windows theory of policing. But at the end of the day, we know that's a political fashion. The reality is that environment matters. We're creatures who react to our environment. And when you put somebody in an ordered, supportive environment that teaches self-efficacy from a context of love, sometimes tough love, we know that we're likely to create people who are going to be whole human beings. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, nothing new.
Michael, let's talk about Caesars. Obviously, a $435 million investment here at the foot of Canal Street. We don't have many, and I was talking to Walt about this earlier, we don't have many projects in that number. And,
no.
You know, he collectively put everything together at the foot of Canal Street, over $1 billion with the aquarium, Four Seasons here, redevelopment of certain areas on the periphery of this property. Huge.
It's incredibly exciting. You know, and then you go a little bit upriver with the River District project, mm-hmm. which is one of the most exciting new neighborhoods in the country, probably. And then what I was talking to Ron Foreman about the other day is the vision for Crescent City Park, which in its ultimate vision will go from Poland Avenue down by the Naval Station, will come up, will connect through Governor Nick Wharf right now, will then be the Moonwalk, Waldenburg Park, but then will continue all the way up to the Huey P. And what we're ultimately going to have is the longest linear park in the country. And you can go to other places. You can go to the Embarcadero in San Francisco. You can go to the West Side Park in New York City and just see what economic drivers they are. They create housing. They create retail. Most importantly, they create an amenity which mm-hmm. people love and is attractive to the city. Because we were born of maritime, being by the water was always a nuisance. It was a place that was dirty. It was a place that was industrial. And then, of course, because of our flood walls and levees, we never actually physically saw the water, didn't tend to. Now, your penthouse at the top of the Four Seasons is different.
Absolutely.
You have a gorgeous view, and, you know,
It's hard for me to identify with what you just described.
No, I know it is, but I'm not asking you to empathize. I'm asking you just to intellectually come down to my level. But the fact that we're now reconnecting to the water is incredibly significant in the evolution of the region. We have to do better on the south shore of the lake. The north shore has done actually a pretty good job, but actually mm-hmm. needs to develop more because in this day and age, that type of water is an amenity.
Yeah. Well, the challenge, too, is that we're trying to overcome a shrinking population.
Yeah. Well, you know, overcoming a shrinking population is an interesting paradox because there's a lot of path dependency to population trends, because when you have a growing population like a Nashville or an Austin, you then have the resources to invest in those amenities that are going to attract more. And then, you know, the opposite is also true. It's why it's so important that as we see the region kind of flattening and begin to lose a little bit, that we staunch it right now, because if it accelerates, it gets really exponentially more difficult.
Absolutely. No doubt. 143 days left before Super Bowl 59.
That's right. So we had a 150-day review last week to talk about this, and you know, overall, we're pretty thrilled with where we are. There are projects that are complete, basically like the Crescent City connection. There are projects that are nearly complete, like Poydras Street. And then there are a number that are just now getting going, particularly in the French Quarter, which, you know, we were talking about some of the great restaurants in the French Quarter, like the renovated GW Finns. What we're going to be doing in the quarter with the lighting, with the sidewalks, with the pothole, including the one on Iberville in front of Felix's Oyster House, with the sweeps that are continuing to tamp down on bad behavior, with the homeless effort, which is now starting up, and even with the new garbage contract, which, and I talked to Troy Henry, who's going to be running, and I said, Troy, there are going to be three ways that your success are going to be judged. The first is, does it smell like lemons? The second is, does it have a lemony smell? And third is there kind of a citrusy scent? And if you can knock, if you can do those three things, then you're going to be good. But I am, and then we have this project working with the DDD and Dave on, where we're going to be, it's called the French Doors Project. We're going to be doing a clean and safe project on each of the first five 100 blocks. So so Decatur, Charters, Royal, Bourbon, and Dauphine. And that's so critical because, you know, that's the that's the entrance to the French Quarter. And, and like Royal Street has been probably one of the probably the worst block in the French Quarter, and it's the entrance.
Yeah.
So we're going to turn that around.
Same with Bourbon. Bourbon's been a challenge, too, for whatever reason. I really like the energy that Davon Barber brings to, you know, to the city. He comes from the West Coast. He did something similar out there. He's seen a bunch of different things, different approaches. I think he gets it.
He gets it. He was working in Hollywood out in L.A., so he's dealt with challenging environments. And what somebody like Davon brings is what I see in most good leaders is a combination of competence and confidence. Mm-hmm. So the competence means that you can trust what they're going to do, but the confidence means that they're willing to partner.
Right.
And that's the only way that any of this stuff gets done, because it just none of us have the resources alone.
So I know Poydras is about two-thirds done, it looks like.
Yeah, Poydras, I was just driving down. The issue is that they were going to pave the middle part of it, but the Sewer and Water Board discovered a leak, so they've got to staunch that before they remill it, but that's getting done. And then, you know, I don't recommend it, but you're going to be able to roller skate from, you know, the expressway right down to Caesars, and there is a slight decline.
If you have a death wish.
No, I'm telling you, Chris, you could just do it. Just like... And I'm talking about roller skate. I'm talking about the ones from like airline skate, like the old ones with the
multiple
white
wheels,
leather, the eight wheels on each one.
I got a vision of you doing that.
Right? Boogie Wonderland all the way down Poydras Street.
For sure.
Right into the river.
All right. We're visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. We're right here at Caesars. You can hear the equipment behind us. Yeah. The grand entrance to the casino is in the final stages, final days. you'll be able to drive up like you used to instead of on the side or across the street at the hotel. I mean, it's a much anticipated opening. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. Michael, a big announcement, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on biofuels.
We had two great announcements yesterday. The first one, really exciting, up at the Port of South Louisiana in St. John the Baptist Parish, Woodlands Biofuels is a Canadian-based company out of Toronto, and they announced that they are planning to build the world's largest carbon-negative biofuels plant right here in Greater New Orleans. So what it's going to do is it's going to take wood waste, and bag ash, sugarcane waste, and through a process which is an anaerobic heating process, which heats it up to 800 degrees Celsius without oxygen, it then converts it to natural gas, and the carbon is stored underground, so it's actually carbon negative. By the time the process is done, making natural gas, which the world needs for its energy, there's actually less carbon in the environment than before the process started. 110 new jobs. This is part of the all-of-the-above clean energy future that we're envisioning. It's really exciting that our theory of the case is being proved out.
Is this a Canadian company?
Is I can't do my Canadian accent. I lived in Toronto for a while. My address, I was living in a hotel on Avenue Road. How Canadian Avenue is that Road. To have Avenue Road? Well, what is it?
What is it? There, so what was it, like a Motel 6?
Anyway, it was Intercontinental. So it's a Canadian company. The CEO is very articulate in explaining why he chose Louisiana. And he said, you know, I love your food, I love your culture, I love your people, your talk radio is the best. But
yeah,
he said,
absolutely.
He said, look, it was really this. You've got a lot of bio waste that we can use, right, from wood and sugarcane. He said, you've got the river. He said, you've got the workforce. He said, you've got the trainers, organizations like Youth Force and our community colleges. And then he also said, you have the geology that's going to allow us to store the carbon. He said, you put that all together, there really is nowhere else in the world, certainly in the country, where we'd want to do this $1.4 billion project.
And that's another, over $1 billion investment here in Louisiana that we have
all the energy.
The LNG plant on the river, and then you go further upriver. Now, this proposed project.
You can call it whatever you want. You can call it all of the above. You can call it the energy addition. I think the governor is calling it energy choice. But there are two realities in the world today. One is that energy demand is going through the roof because doing an AI search takes 17 times as much energy as doing a Google search. And the second is that there is a demand, regulatory and from consumers, to reduce carbon. We're incredibly well positioned to do that in oil, natural gas, bio, wind. And what that means is a chance for us to really revitalize the entire economy of the state. That gets back to our issue about population.
Absolutely. There's another exciting announcement, too.
So kind of a part of this is that, you know, we have this movement. I come and talk about it on the radio, but it's happening behind fences and all over the country, all over the region. It needs a headquarters. And so just like about 20 years ago, we set up the IP building to be the headquarters of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. We're now setting up the headquarters of Future Energy. It's the Louisiana Future Energy Center. It's out at the campus of UNO. It's being designed by EDR, Escu Dumas Ripple. And it's going to be the physical place that researchers and companies can come together and have these serendipitous meetings. But it's also kind of symbolic. So if you're talking to the media or you're talking to an investor, you can say, this is the epicenter of future energy in Greater New Orleans and Louisiana. And we're just thrilled that it's out there. It was enabled by a big EDA grant that we won in hydrogen. And yesterday, we didn't break the ground. We broke the wall.
Broke the wall.
Which was, I'll show you the video. I mean, for me, I'm just like hitting the wall politely. Some of our staff, I mean, they went at the wall they just went to a press conference and chose violence. I mean, it was a bit unnerving. But anyway, it's going to be beautiful.
Well, they didn't tell you about they had superimposed your face.
The way they were closing their eyes and swinging. there was something about it. Yeah, I see one of my teammates. He's looking at me. He goes, yeah. They were
shaking his head.
They were imagining something. And afterwards, you know, one of the staffers who really did, you know, she came back and she was like in this fugue state. He kind of shook it off. Said, oh, you know, like she had lost herself for a moment in the – but anyway, it's fantastic.
And said, oh, it's you again, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. And we're thrilled about all of our partners, all the academic institutions. And so the Louisiana Future Energy Center will be open in 2025 out at UNO's campus, and it's where – all of these projects are going to have their spiritual and their physical home.
Otherwise known as the beach.
Otherwise known as the beach, right. With the beach, a sandbox for innovation. So
right, there you go.
A lot of good things going on out at UNO.
We have a special guest joining us.
Oh, yeah. So I'm thrilled to have my good friend here, Kate Swinburne. She is the co-founder and president and CEO of Youth Force NOLA, organization I'm proud to serve on the board of. Youth Force is in my opinion, one of the most effective organizations in the country at connecting young people to pathways for their future. And it's really about the American dream. It really is the essence of it all. So it's great to have Kate with us today, talk about their work. They are 100% the real deal.
Absolutely, Kate. Welcome. And
thank
she
you.
Came in with a smile on her face and... Then we found out why.
Yes. It wasn't that I went to a rage room. It's that we love donations.
I thought maybe you hit a jackpot on the way in.
Well, effectively, she did.
But she did.
Maybe I'll go there next.
Yes. You know, things go in threes, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. They do.
So tell us about that great news. I mean, there's not much to reveal about it, but it's very important.
Oh, yeah. Well, TBD, we got some great news yesterday. We have an anonymous donation coming in. We're pretty sure it's not fraud, so we're doing the first steps there.
Great.
But yeah, we have a donor who's told us they're giving us $1.8 million.
Wow.
Anonymous.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cash the check.
Yes. So more to come on that. I'll come back when we know more.
Absolutely. But that's great news.
Yeah. Definitely makes my week. Might as well knock off today, huh?
Right.
Yes.
She's like, nothing can upset me now. I said, I don't know. You with Michael and Newell, we can work on that.
I challenge you. Yeah.
We can turn your smile upside down.
But you had some other great news
of
a grant that y'all have received.
Yes. So Youth Force NOLA is the lead partner on a collaborative we're calling NOLA Leads, which the LEADS then stands for, this is New Orleans Leading in Education and Apprenticeships, Development and Skills. So this is us working with a set of partners here in the space to help our young people and our young adults learn about regional high wage pathways, train for a set of apprenticeships, and ultimately get into these high wage jobs. So, you know, maybe facilities maintenance here at the new hotel, maybe some of those, you know, all of the above energy jobs that we're talking about. So helping our young people really fuel our regional workforce.
How important are apprenticeships? I've always been one, you know, if I can touch it, if I can feel it, I'm much better, right?
Yeah.
Experiential learning, I can envision it. I have to imagine it's just reinforced every day with the work that y'all do.
Yeah, so Youth Force, you know, it is all about learning by doing. And our call to action with our school partners is to help our young people really get out into the real world. Our young people tell us that, you know, they want real world skills. They're ready for being an adult and they want to be prepared to be an adult. And so an apprenticeship then is pairing this real world work experience with intense mentorship and a real intentional scaffolding. So you're not, you know, you're not framing out the building the first day, but you are observing, and then ultimately you are framing out the building by the end of your apprenticeship. And so it's really a supportive way. Retention of apprentices in their jobs and with their companies is, you know, off the charts. So our regional employers are excited about this opportunity.
And it really gives them a taste of what it's like out there. I always think back to what was his name back in the movie Back to School. He says, "Stay in school. It's tough out there." You know? It's like Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, Rodney Dangerfield! Wow, yeah. God. Okay,
you know?
I'm with you. Yeah,
no. And I always think about that because
you just said the Rodney thing with your collar.
Folks, you know, they get out there and they don't realize, but when you go through this type of process where you have that mentor there guiding you through it, you gain that familiarization of what the challenges actually are and how to overcome them.
Well, and I think also you're also gaining social knowledge and social capital.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, being at work, it's about the hard skills, obviously. It's about the soft skills, like how to look somebody in the eye. But it's also things like how to dress, what you do at a business meeting, protocols. There's a rhythm to being in business, and you're not going to get that from school. And so particularly from kids who haven't had this in their background, in their family, these apprenticeships are just opening the doors to a world where they might not have been before, and that's equally or more important, I think.
Yeah.
Even coming out of advanced master's programs or otherwise, if you've not done it, you end up going to a building, you can't find a bathroom.
Right.
The byproduct of not being exposed to it. But when you are, I mean, I got to imagine you get to see this all the time, and I guess it's incredibly rewarding. The buildup of confidence in these kids.
Yes. Yeah. Youth Force also directly runs an internship program. In many ways, you could think of an internship program as a prequel to an apprenticeship. I always tell the interns at the beginning of the summer that 8 weeks later, when I see them, they're going to be 2 inches taller. Sometimes it's a growth spurt, but very often, it is just they are standing up taller. They have navigational confidence. They have awareness of what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know why they're doing it. And they're showing up 15 minutes early to get there because they know that's how they're going to be prepared to enter the room, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of all these pieces come together and they just grow so much more excited and so much more confident.
And this is so incredibly important because anybody, and Michael knows this better than anyone, when you're luring economic development here, people to come here, the first thing they ask about is what?
Yeah.
Your workforce.
Where's
your workforce?
The talent?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It is the, there is a skepticism about the workforce in Louisiana and the region because our reputation is so strong in food, music, and culture that they can't imagine that we've been building rocket ships and naval vessels and technology and healthcare technologies for decades. So we have to be able to answer that question affirmatively because it's not, unfortunately, part of our kind of standard brand.
And part of that is being able to feed that pipeline,
yes.
Right? And,
yes.
And having that continuum in place.
Yeah. I mean, at our founding, employers said, I want to stay in New Orleans. I want to grow in New Orleans. Or, they were getting recruited to New Orleans. Where's the talent? And then with that, our New Orleans companies are saying also, I'd much rather hire a local. I want somebody who, when our patients say Lagniappe, they know what the patient is talking about, mm-hmm. right? So there is a real just incredible value in having local folks in our companies, just in terms of commitment, insider, vocabulary, all the things that make New Orleans magical and wonderful. Like our regional talent brings it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you come here, and Kennedy's right over there. He's the VP of marketing here at Caesars, a Jesuit grad, I might add. There is a connection.
You can
his
boss
got that is another thing. Jesuit grad, local guy, and then the VP of hospitality here. He went to De La Salle. That's okay. Well, but still, emblematic of the strength of what we have to offer in New Orleans, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
No, there's no question. And the I think what I love about the work that Youth Force does is they bring, I'm trying to say this the right way, they bring a rigor, a meticulousness to it that you don't always see. So it's not just, okay, we're going to get you a job and then good luck. There's follow-up, there's support, there's reporting back on metrics, there's continual improvement. And so it's great to see. I mean, I remember when Youth Force was just an idea, written on the white paint on the wall. And it's been really exciting to see what Kate has done in terms of growing it over the years. And what's the budget going to be this year, roughly?
We're at about $9 million.
Yeah, so it's a pretty stunning growth. So it's fantastic and really one of the best.
So you've just been awarded a $4 million grant from the Department of Labor's Apprenticeship Building America Initiative.
Yep.
And so that helps fuel a lot of what's going to go on at Youth Force NOLA.
Yeah. So this is our fifth federal grant. And the federal opportunities, this is also in a city that sometimes I think feels starved for resources. We've been able to bring all these federal dollars in to really help jumpstart new initiatives, scale different opportunities. So apprenticeships are going to be a major effort over the next 4 years. We've got targets of reaching over 450 young people and young adults through these apprenticeships. Again, that's 450 young people then feeding into our regional companies for great jobs. We've also got a big federal grant around soft skills. So this is around integrating soft skills into just the way our schools do school. so that our young people are problem solving and collaborating and communicating, and just really, you know, again, bringing that confidence and that navigational awareness.
So, Kate, what is the pathway for folks to align with your organization?
First, they can always just get to us straight off our website, youthforcenola.org. Second, then, we have really wonderful partnerships. We partner closely with GNO Inc. We partner closely with NOLA Public Schools. And in each of our public high schools, we have a partnership. So a young person or their family who's in a NOLA public school anywhere in the city could say, I want to be doing that Youth Force NOLA stuff. I want to be doing connected learning. And their counselors, their CTE coordinators, their principals should all know what they're talking about. And so this is an opportunity to explore careers, train for careers, and get out and, you know, start working in our regional businesses.
Is there a connection to life after high school in this program as well?
Yeah, in addition to the apprenticeship program. So certainly the apprenticeship program can really help be how our young people span from high school to work. So they could choose to go straight to an apprenticeship, and that's going to support them through 2 to 3 years into, you know, full-time work. There's also, we support a set of bridge year programs at New Orleans Career Center and Next Level NOLA. So young people are getting college credits and career training to then have a leg up if they want to matriculate on to a college or direct into an apprenticeship program. And really the bottom line is this is about helping our young people make more informed choices. So we would rather they are picking colleges and picking a major based on knowing they want to work in healthcare and that they don't faint at the sight of blood, you know, than just blindly going down a pre-med path and potentially, you know, stopping out.
And let me just say that as groundbreaking as the work is of Youth Force, it's not groundbreaking because the rest of the world has known this and been doing this for decades. I mean, the idea of apprenticeship in Germany kind of most famously is just integral in the way that they do their, that they run their economy. And in other places around the world, it's actually more typical for a young person to choose a direction early in what would be about 10th grade here and begin to specialize. It's only in America with the idea that we had growing up that you're going to go to college and figure it out. And I don't know. I mean, it took me a little while to figure it out.
Yeah.
You're looking at someone that was 11 years part-time at night. Mm-hmm. So I was working the whole time.
Yeah.
And I went to UNO. It took me a while. I finally got there. I decided at some point I wanted to go to law school.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here in the United States, we really overcorrected away from career training. And so Youth Force NOLA and what we're doing in New Orleans, we're really leading the country then in the United States, shifting back to really incorporate career preparation into how we do high school.
And the beauty of what you guys do is you recognize where there are the most opportunities and shortages out there, right?
Yes. That's yes. Right. And wage opportunity. You know, so this is the sweet spot of jobs and economic opportunity for our young people. So helping them, you know, not just go for a job for sake of a job, but a job that's going to take them to a middle-class lifestyle and, you know, hopefully without too much debt.
A lot of the programs we talk about impact very small numbers. Y'all have impacted roughly 1,700 to 2,000, you know, young adults already.
Yeah. Yeah, Youth Force, I think that's, you know, one of the reasons we've been really successful is from our founding, we've been focused on systems change. So this is not about growing from 5 kids to 10. This is about saying, how many young people are in our high schools across the city, and how do we get opportunities to as many of them as possible, as quickly as possible? And we benchmark our growth as a percent of the citywide high school class.
That's interesting. Yeah, look, I love that.
The implications of this are so broad. One of the reasons why you see such a dramatic decline in crime, like youth homicides down 71% over the past year, number 4 best decline or fastest decline in the country, is because our public schools have stepped up. It's because of programs like Youth Force. They really have upped their game through partnerships, and they're giving kids not just a place to go during the day, but hope and aspirations. And you know, those are the things that ultimately create a better and safer and more prosperous environment for everybody. So,
No doubt for sure. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., as well as Kate Swinburne, co-founder, President and CEO at Youth Force NOLA. We're broadcasting live at Caesars. We're right outside the new, right inside, I should say, the new grand opening to the facility. That's why you've heard a lot of equipment in the background. We do not want to impede their progress, and neither do they. I'm getting stared down by Kennedy's.
All right.
He's like, we're going, man. We're keeping the forward momentum.
I mean, at some point, if we get cut off, it's because it's going to be like a steamroll. It's just going to come through this stepping repeat behind us. And there's going to, you know, those rugs that are like giant, like zebras or tigers? There's one like Newell right here in Octavia. Just like that.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc., and I want to thank Kate Swinburne for joining us as well. A lot of great news today. I love talking about that, of all the positive things. But in the aftermath of the storm, something very important, the roof program.
Yeah, I want to let people know that the next round of the Louisiana Fortified Homes Program grants are opening. Are they open today at 8 a.m.? You can go to the Louisiana Department of Insurance website, the LDI website, and you can apply. It is a lottery because there's not enough money to go to everybody. But if you win, you get $10,000 to go towards putting on a fortified roof, which can have a really significant impact on your premiums, and it's a way to protect your home. So there's no reason not to do this if you if you could just log on and apply. We're trying to get everybody in the state eventually to have a fortified roof.
Absolutely. Michael, and I meant this with all seriousness, I really like talking about the great things that are going on, right? I mean, we know that there are things that are less than pretty, mm-hmm. right? But there are so many good things happening.
There is. I mean, you know, I don't know whether it's the Saints. They undoubtedly have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, as the Saints go, so do us emotionally. But it's not just the Saints. It's the improvement in crime. It's the improvement in infrastructure. There is a sense that we are on the upswing going into a very exciting year. And that makes it fun. And, of course, it's contagious. Everybody likes to win. So
sure.
I think it's important to talk about the good news, as long as it's mostly real. Because, you know, the bad stuff is going to dominate the headlines.
Right.
Gets the clicks. Folks have to know so they can make good decisions that this hard work is paying off. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about with Kenner Discovery. Everybody can be a leader in their own way. They got to decide mm-hmm. what their issue is, and if they stick with it, they can make a difference that then echoes out to the entire community, and we all benefit.
And that's why I thought it was important to set aside segments during the week to visit with folks to talk about the positives, right? And there are not many folks that do it, and we dedicate a lot of time.
And people
to
seem
it.
To like it. Now,
yeah.
why is
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
is it? You're just very good at your job.
No, I don't know about that. I mean, it's the collective effort, the collaboration of all the folks that are working hard behind the scenes that get little or no recognition.
Yeah.
You know, plugging away in the trenches, all of those cliche terms. But it's true.
It's true. And people like hearing about it. I mean, you know, we already know the bad news. But at some point, it gets exhausting. You get kind of, it's like there's this thing called olfactory adaptation, where if you, like, walk into a room where somebody has stepped in dog poo, after a while, you don't smell it anymore.
Yes.
That's how I kind of feel with bad news. At some point, I want Newell to bring the roses.
It can only be said the way that Michael Heck
was. Newell, I feel like you're co-pilot here, and I know that everybody has a choice of radio station, and I thank them for.
Sometimes we're on autopilot for sure. Thank you so much, Michael, for coming down and joining us today at Caesars. Great facility, great atmosphere. You know, what an investment, and it shows, and you feel it here for sure.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to come down to Caesars, check it out. And speaking of investment, to go to Nobu for their birthday or a very special anniversary.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, we are broadcasting live from Caesars. The renovation here, it's absolutely incredible. We're going to talk more about what the offerings are with Samir Mowat, the hotel GM and Senior Vice President of Caesars, as well as Kennedy Smith and Miles Tully Jr. as well. All New Orleans boys, they are the leaders of Caesars here in New Orleans. We are blessed. We'll be right back with them. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc., and I want to thank Kate Swinburne for joining us as well. A lot of great news today. I love talking about that, of all the positive things. But in the aftermath of the storm, something very important, the roof program.
Yeah, I want to let people know that the next round of the Louisiana Fortified Homes Program grants are opening. Are they open today at 8 a.m.? You can go to the Louisiana Department of Insurance website, the LDI website, and you can apply. It is a lottery because there's not enough money to go to everybody. But if you win, you get $10,000 to go towards putting on a fortified roof, which can have a really significant impact on your premiums, and it's a way to protect your home. So there's no reason not to do this if you if you could just log on and apply. We're trying to get everybody in the state eventually to have a fortified roof.
Absolutely. Michael, and I meant this with all seriousness, I really like talking about the great things that are going on, right? I mean, we know that there are things that are less than pretty, mm-hmm. right? But there are so many good things happening.
There is. I mean, I don't know whether it's the Saints. They undoubtedly have something to do with it.
Yeah.
as the Saints go, so do us emotionally. But it's not just the Saints. It's the improvement in crime. It's the improvement in infrastructure. There is a sense that we are on the upswing going into a very exciting year. And that makes it fun. And, of course, it's contagious. Everybody likes to win. So
sure.
I think it's important to talk about the good news, as long as it's mostly real. Because, the bad stuff is going to dominate the headlines.
Right.
Gets the clicks, folks have to know so they can make good decisions that this hard work is paying off. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about with Kenner Discovery. Everybody can be a leader in their own way. They got to decide mm-hmm. what their issue is, and if they stick with it, they can make a difference that then echoes out to the entire community, and we all benefit.
And that's why I thought it was important to set aside segments during the week to visit with folks to talk about the positives, right? And there are not many folks that do it, and we dedicate a lot of time.
And people seem to like it. Now, why is that? Is it? You're just very good at your job.
No, I don't know about that. I mean, it's the collective effort, the collaboration of all the folks that are working hard behind the scenes that get little or no recognition.
Yeah.
You know, plugging away in the trenches, all of those cliche terms. But it's true.
It's true. And people like hearing about it. I mean, we already know the bad news. But at some point, it gets exhausting. You get it's like there's this thing called olfactory adaptation, where if you, walk into a room where somebody has stepped in dog poo, after a while, you don't smell it anymore.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of feel with bad news. At some point, I want Noel to bring the roses.
It can only be said the way that Michael Heck
was. Noel, I feel like you're co-pilot here, and I know that everybody has a choice of radio station, and I thank them for...
Sometimes we're on autopilot, for sure. Thank you so much, Michael, for coming down and joining us today at Caesars. Great facility, great atmosphere. What an investment, and it shows, and you feel it here, for sure.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to come down to Caesars, check it out, and speaking of investment, to go to Nobu for their birthday or a very special anniversary.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, we are broadcasting live from Caesars. The renovation here, it's absolutely incredible. We're going to talk more about what the offerings are with Samir Mowat, the hotel GM and Senior Vice President of Caesars, as well as Kennedy Smith and Miles Tully Jr. as well. All New Orleans boys, they are the leaders of Caesars here in New Orleans. We are blessed. We'll be right back with them. Stay with us.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.